And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast. And it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is July 19, 2017. And this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio Studio 1, we have Doug Newsom with some pain. And we all really wish him all the best and get well soon. Dougie, we really love you and hope that you be well soon. And we have some news and some music. And we all hope that you'll pass the time to a better time, because there is a God and it's not us. And we are all just want to be worthy before him. So let's start. Let's start with our sponsor, Protect.
We live in a world where terrorism can strike at any given moment. So I spent my entire life in trying to make the world a safer place. I know what it's like to live in terror, and I don't wish that on anyone. If the Protect company can expand beyond the Israeli borders into a business that is truly global, we will be able to minimize as many casualties and death worldwide. My name is Itai Gil, and this show is about my mission to protect the world.
Success is in the mind. One guy will say success is if I have millions in the bank, but he's still miserable. So materialistic, he's successful, but if he's happy, no, it has to have a combination that you have enough to do the hobbies you love, to have enough quality time with the family. Well, my wife, she's my best friend. We've been together for 16 years. She's very, very smart and spicy. She knows how to negotiate real well. I even offered her the job in Protect, leave the bank and work for me, but you know, for the moment, she's gonna stay in the bank. I spend many, many hours with my kids. They're in my environment all the time. They can feel me every day. It's not that I'm gone forever. They think I'm a little bit of a different father than the other fathers. You know, I have an extreme job. Go!
My life be like.
Yeah. Okay, go, 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 go! Go to the corners! Like. Yay! Go! Go! Ready! Go! Engage! Yes! I was a soldier from a very young age, from 18. I was exposed to, tactics, weapons. Later on, I was recruited to an elite counter-terror team. It's called Yamam. Being in the counter-terror team for many, many years, active as special police team, I've done more than one arrest in my life, and I discovered that lots of things you learn in a so-called training center, dojo, doesn't work in real time. I had to come up with some solutions that will work in real time against certain aggressive criminals. We deal in combat and tactical training.
I'll go for this, but if you pull, right on the end. You can still get me in the back if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But we're going back here.
Yeah, I'm just doing that.
Can you imagine this 4 hours a day?
Yeah.
Lovely, isn't it?
You know, I've been nagging you for a long, long time to get this program started with security, intelligence, and counter-terror studies.
I'm convinced that we have to go to this
avenue.
Yes.
See? If you hit the right people, you can get them to participate and do what you want.
In the manner of speaking.
Comes to, no, I'm against violence, believe me. You know, very gently. You see, but it all comes to who you hit.
I cannot change anyone's mindset. You know, if someone's locked down, he says, oh, it's just a businessman, he wants to make money. Of course, we're business and we do want to make money, and it's not a crime. But we also want to save lives.
You know, when we were kids, no one ever took us to school. We always had to walk.
I would do anything to protect my kids. Doesn't matter how much it would cost. I would put every effort to educate my kids to identify any suspicious behavior.
All right, that's the Protect program that Itai Gil is presenting to you and presenting to the world. He's out and about someplace now, and he is a great soul. And he's somebody that stays vigilant and dedicate his life to make you safer. That's why he's working so hard. And later on, we're going to have an interview with him because we had a visit from him and I had the honor to interview him personally. So I hope you'll enjoy it. We'll wait until later for that. However, let's make a recap of the news of last week, because we have a lot of things moving around and talking about Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. We had a very vicious attack when two policemen were gunned down on Temple Mount compound. You just imagine, the Temple Mount is the holy site of the whole world, that, you know, you have to consider it. This is the only site in the whole world that is dedicated to the whole world to come and pray together. And that vicious attack was incredible. The idea that we have people that use weapon, you know, assault weapon, and they came out of the mosque. And they shoot in the policeman. And think about it, the policeman video you can see were the back to the compound, because they would never imagine that the assault rifle will come out and shoot them. It's not a holy space if you kill people. It ruins the atmosphere, of course. And now we have to address a very important thing. First of all, who is responsible for the compound? Security is Israeli responsibility, but the WAF, the one that was assigned by the Jordanian, were supposed to take care of business. They are the one who take care of their worship. It means that if they screen anybody, if they see anybody, they should have addressed it. However, the idea that they just ran, and you have a video, you can run on the internet and see it. They were running around and there was no loud voice, no warning, nothing. You know, like nobody were pursuing them to stop, let's assume. But what happened, the Israeli needed to protect the site immediately. So they closed it for the 24th hour after. Of course, the Muslims were so out and about, and they, you know, the uproar was incredible. But the defense and security is something that Israeli knows, so they use what they had to do. They closed the scene of the crime. After that, they checked if there was a weapon. I don't know how thorough and you know, worthy was it, but we hope they did a great job. Trusting them, they did a good job. They didn't, I don't know if they disclosed anything, if they found anything. However, they decided to put metal detectors. Metal detectors that you pass by in the airports, metal detectors that in Israel are everywhere. And you know for sure that that's what keep Israeli safe. Now, we have an uproar of the Muslim community staging an insult to their dignity, like the insult to the dignity of those poor souls, policemen that got killed. And they were like Druze, they were Arab Israeli that served the nation. The Druze community is very strong in their support to Israel. And they had to die and sacrifice themselves, and those Muslim worshiper thinks that it's too much for them to be dignified by passing by metal detector. Oh my God, you know, like it wasn't all Islamic attack on the world. I don't understand why the world is such a coward in front of the very, very basic understanding that there is right and wrong. Now, the Muslim community everywhere in the world are aware of the situation. They saying that not all Muslim are bad, but all terrorists are Muslim, right? So why don't you guys get your stuff together and help us catch them? Can we stop this routine of killing? I know that ISIS is about to lose ground. I know that al-Baghdadi is dead and probably buried. I don't know if it's worth of a barrier, but What I'm saying is you have to understand that the Muslim community is such a, you know, a goody two-shoes that they don't recognize their own fault. It's like a camel that don't see his bump. How do you want the holy site of the whole world to be safe if you negate us from keeping security, something that we're not going to let you? So those metal detectors going to stay. You better have, you know, condition where you address it, whoever you are. But this reorganization and rioting and threatening, I'm just want to tell everybody that this cahootsing, and we're talking about consorting in America, you didn't see anything like what happens here. Well, the Jordanian are cahootsing. You're talking about conspiration or like something that you behind the scene. Well, I'll give you something to investigate. You newsmaker that wants to make a fuss over the American president or anything like a meeting that was taking place in the public in the big towers. Like, you guys don't see truth. Look at this. We have Jordanian passing the UNESCO resolution that state that Jerusalem is not, you know, it's only Muslim. Saying goodbye to the Bible, saying goodbye to the Christian also faith. And nobody say a word. It's like how UNESCO is still standing. UNESCO is supposed to be abolished, dismissed, finito. Because you have no right to stand if you give an organization money and then obscenely they negate the Bible, and you are 1 billion Christian and we are the Jewish people are only the custodian of the holy places, you know, we're not many. But you guys, it's like between you that you let them be. But nobody can blame you if something wrong, you know, is misunderstood, etc., etc. Think about it. Think about it. We have UNESCO. UNESCO is an organization that defied our basic rule of conduct of humanity that we kept for 2,000 years, 3,000 years of Bible. It's the oldest, most famous, most sold book in the universe. And if you try to rearrange the world, maybe that's a start. Seems like it. But who comes first to say that they're right? The Jordanian. Oh boy. We need to reclaim Jerusalem. Darling, Jordan, it has a peace accord. Signed, delivered. They gave up all rights to Jerusalem. You have no right on the books. You are signed it off. The only place you have is the worship. You can worship your mosque. And if you push it, you know, we can reconsider. And yes, you warn us that you riot. You can warn us everything. Like, you know, welcome to the club. This is what we have every day from all over the globe. But meanwhile, that you try to cahoots with the UNESCO, with organizing all your acclaimed nonprofit organization that you take the money from the source and you pass it along to terrorist organization, then you take more money under Islamic group, Islamic organization, Islamic whatever. And then at the end game, it's terror. I don't think you're going to last long. And remember, God give it and God takes it. It's not us to get and it's not our to give. The holy site is holy because it's God's. It's not ours. So right now you are jeopardizing your standing with God. You know, we give you the possibility. And talking about this, you know, remember we were talking about so many times the Syrian refugees and what happened to all those children in Syria and when nobody's taking care of them. And I've been completely repeating myself for a year. And once I also pass it along to member of the Israeli parliament, sure enough, today they announced that they have a project called Good Neighbor, which what happened is they're serving the refugees with help, with medical assistance, with food, and any assistance that they can give them with the condition, special condition that they have, they will. And they're saying those children are terrified in the beginning because they're a monster. They describe their, you know, the neighbor as a monster. At the end, is the only neighbor that comes to their rescues. It's remind me of the stories of that that Arab mother with a child that had an accident, and she arrived to the hospital all unconscious, and the baby was hungry. So the grandmother said, you know, he was breastfeeding. Nobody, you know, he needs somebody to breastfeed him. So the nurse, the Israeli nurse, came to her, and she said, I'll feed him. And she fed him five times. The mother, the grandmother was recounting this. It's on YouTube. You can find it. And she saved, you know, saved life. You probably could have eaten. But that gesture of humanitarian gesture, when you have a mother that is unconscious after an accident and you have a baby arriving to hospital and the nurse is nursing you physically. Talking about Jewish tradition, Jewish respect, talking about neighborhood, helping those in need. Talking about worshiping, sharing a holy site on our ground, on Jerusalem, on the capital of Israel, giving them the right to honor them, and they spit on it. And now they don't even want to metal detector, but I'm telling you, it's a lost cause. The metal detector is there to stay. So after I've been talking a lot about it, I want you to consider something. I'm going to take you out to another side of the world, because sometimes with there is a way of, you know, sending so much rumor in one place so the other place is quiet, but we are not. We're going to keep you in focus by letting you see another point of view. Let's just start with talking, you know, it's a past information, but it's about the triangle of Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, and what's going on there not long ago. So let's listen to that.
Rio Grande Falls in the heart of South America. With over 275 waterfalls, there is nothing in the world quite like it. The falls lie along three borders, Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, and attract visitors from everywhere. This includes the local Arab community, which makes up significant numbers in the triple border area. Since September the 11th, the Iguazu Falls have lost half the number of foreign tourists. Ciudad del Este, which sits on the Paraguayan side of the Paraná River, has rapidly developed through its cross-border trading links with its neighbors. This bridge, directly linking Paraguay and Brazil, often clogs with traffic as cars, trucks, and people move across the borders. There are no checkpoints at the Paraguayan side of the border, nor along any other crossroad. The borders are some of the most porous in the world, and the region is known for its busy black markets. But according to international intelligence sources, there's more than just bootlegging going on here. They believe Islamic terrorists use the area as a safe haven. It's easy to hide amongst the jumble of nationalities. Cigarettes and fake watches are just some of the contraband sold in the thriving black markets. Smuggling and money laundering are long-running activities. Brazilian prosecutors say large-scale money launderers have channeled billions of dollars through the area. Such a busy city could be an attractive place for terrorists to hide. Farid Rajal owns this shopping center in Ciudad del Este. His business is in a part of the commercial district owned mostly by Arab merchants. Like many other South Americans of Arab descent, he's a professional businessman who's become a pillar of the local economy. But recent accusations have been made about the involvement of Arab shop owners in the funding and support of Islamic terrorist groups, such as Hezbollah. As a successful entrepreneur in Ciudad del Este, with close contacts in the Arab community, Farid Rajal bristles at the charges made. He feels they've been unfairly targeted because they're Arabs. Prejudice seems to have gone further, though. Even his children have been called terrorists at school. He thinks there are other motives behind the recent accusations.
They look at us in a bad way, and they accuse us of many things, including money laundering, arms trafficking, contraband and falsifications.
Yo creo que más que nada hay unas ganas por parte de la industria de Brasil.
I think that more than anything, Brazilian industrialists want us to leave the city because of the economic weight that we represent for business in Paraguay against them in Brazil.
En contra de ellos, mejor dicho. Pero no así, yo quisiera admitir todos los cargos
like
que se le imputan
the things that Ciudad del Este is accused of.
As well as local businesses, mosques have been accused of protecting Islamic extremists. Not only in Paraguay, but across the river in Foz do Iguaçu, Brazil, two more mosques are suspected of being involved with a number of terror groups. Paraguay's secret police recently came to this mosque and arrested several suspects. Arrests like these have added to suspicion, but Muslims say the suspicion is unjustified as they say nothing has been proven. Young Muslims like Nassan feel frustration at the charges.
The U.S. is threatening that there are other countries on the list. That makes us feel the war is not just against Bin Laden. But when George Bush talks about the Christian war against the Muslim, one which he then denies again, that is when we feel that the war and discrimination is against us, Arabs in general, and Muslims in particular.
The border cities are well-known hideouts for people not wanting to be found. 10 days after the September 11th attacks, Paraguayan police arrested 20 suspects in Ciudad del Este. From coup plotters to Colombian rebels to Osama bin Laden associates, many have turned up in this area where there are no border checkpoints to stop them, and a multi-ethnic population makes it easier to blend in. As an historian and political analyst, Milda Rivarola has witnessed a change in the government's attitude towards the Arab community in Paraguay. She suggests the special treatment the government once gave Arabs as stars of the economy no longer exists.
De hecho, el gobierno de González Macri estaba
González Macri's government is definitely hanging on a thread ever since the middle of last year. There are institutions that have supported the government that will probably keep him in power until 2003. One of them is the American Embassy, and the other is the Church. In a way, this government owes its existence to the explicit support of the American Embassy, and they are paying the favors.
Paraguayan intelligence says they've been warning the U.S. about extremist factions in the tri-border region for more than a year. Julio César Franco, Paraguay's recently appointed vice president, believes there's enough evidence to point to the existence of terrorist groups. But with a troubled economy and political turmoil, Paraguay has problems that are higher up on its agenda.
Pero puede tener algún tipo de relacionamiento.
There could be a relationship easily. The area promotes business internationally.
All right. I gave you this segment just to let you understand that when poverty strikes, all those groups, terror group, they are well funded. They have money, you know, from all those different countries like to expand terrorism or are have the radical idea that Islam can control the world for some reason. They fund them and they organize in places that you never can imagine. And those, you know, three countries, Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil, that they have a very, very common denominator of poverty, let's assume. They can base themselves and launch their whatever from there. And you cannot follow them because what happens is they go to a tourist attraction and they mix with the population. You don't know who are they, and they work behind the scene. Now, that's why I'm insisting that the Islamic movement has to be recognized also as a part of this battle. We cannot let, you know, some radical, of course, they're radical Islam. We have a billion Muslims. They're not them, but some of them are, and you can detect. That's why we put policemen, you know, to detect of crime. That's why the Muslim need to organize and give us some heads up and help us work. And I know that they're risking their life, but it's better risking. That's what policemen do. They risk their life for the well-being of the society. And the Muslim did not take a part of it. And this is time to call their bluff, because you cannot tell us that you don't want to take a part of to be vigilant when we are all in the world, in the rest of the world, working our head off to find the way and normal way without the obscenity of degradation or anything to Muslims. But we need some good souls from the other side to work with us. And it's about time. I know that, you know, in Israel, the Druze are Arabs. And they're working, but I know also that the Muslim extremes are getting into their villages and try to establish a Sharia law. And many Israeli policemen don't want to go to the villages, and that's how they create a zone where they can manifest themselves, of course, because the Israel is such a military base country. You know, you can go so far between, your plan, they'll detect you in some form. And now with all this advanced technology, we are going a very fast track to screen everything and to monitor, recognize face recognition, so they cannot go fast, far anywhere, because we can reach them anywhere. So that's why I'm saying that if the Arabs are organizing, and if Mr. Nasrallah, Hezbollah, is trying to warn Israel from another war, let's warn him back that this time, like most of the times, Israel is going to win. And going to win, and it's going to hurt them. And the world can go back to their home and being a goody two shoes, but they cannot protect. This time, it's all on video. Let's say it right. It's on video. They are to blame. You cannot also falsify those proofs. This is it. So let's think about a new world where Arab are part of our good forces, help us line out all the bad boys. And let's get back to a world that we need to grow bigger, nicer, develop, and start to rebuild whatever they destroy for so long. We have years of destruction in the Middle East. Syria is gone. Egypt is still trying to recoup. Jordan has many refugees, but this regime is not something that I like so much because they are double talkers. Yes, and they put themselves in the middle. Yes, in the end, it's going to be very painful because, as I hear now, the Saudis are giving a very courteous help to help settle the disputed Temple Mount. You hear that? You hear that? The Saudis wants to negotiate with Israeli on Jerusalem holy site. I don't know, but they're not going to remove those detector, because if you don't have anything to hide, what do you care? You pass on and that's it. If you don't, and what's the humiliation? It's a metal detector. Anybody in the world that pass, you know, lives in this universe, know how it looks and what it does. It doesn't nothing. It doesn't show you nothing. It doesn't cover nothing. It only make a beep in case you have some knife. And most of them probably don't like that, because they need to have guns or an armament of some sort. If not, what? Like, the Israeli will do anything. It's like Israel is the Israeli Defense Force. It comes to defend themselves. If you attack us, you'll pay ultimately the price, like American teach us very well. You come to democracy is about preserving the rights of everybody. For some reason, the Muslim, and now their real face is out, they're saying something that we all knew. They want the site for themselves. They don't want anybody. The only site of the whole world is not allowed to anybody else but them. Think again. That was a site of the Holy Temple of Israel. They built a mosque like they do in every holy site in the whole world. When they destroy a church, they build a mosque. When they destroy, when they pass by a synagogue, they build a mosque. It's always like this. But I thought because they honored the holiness of that, I didn't know that they want it instead. You know, it's like eliminate the rest of us. Well, I guess that if they want to make it a religion world, there you go. This is the time. We are in a week before the fast of the destruction of the temple. It's proper time to talk about it. I'm sorry I'm expanding about it. But mosques supposed to be holy. And let's listen to the interview that we had with Itai Gil. And he probably is talking about the mosque. Let's listen to it. All right, I want to talk to you. Hi, Itai. Itai Gil, Special Forces, a man that knows the difference between right and wrong in the world of defense. And today we're talking to him to see what can we do to make this world better. Itai, thank you so much for coming here. We are very, very happy to see you. Would you tell me, what do you think the condition of the free world at this point of time in history? Today is June 8, 2017.
Thank you, Orly, for having me here at your office for this interview. Well, actually, it's pretty difficult to say where I'm going to start because there are so many avenues I wish to talk about to people that are decision makers, if they can make a decision. And that's the biggest issue. Can they make a decision? As we are witnessing currently right now, we're under massive attacks from radical Muslims around the world. Of course, people have problems sometimes with short memory, but let me remind them. Paris, we had a few attacks. Airports, Belgium.
England.
Going on in the UK just recently. And Australia is under massive threats as well. And I just came back from three trips now in Europe. I was in France, in Paris. I was in Berlin. And I was in Spain. And I can honestly tell you that I'm talking to very close friends of mine, colleagues, people that I work with, and I train with them. And I provide services to them. Law enforcement guys. And they're telling me that they are extremely stressed from the conditions that are happening right now in Europe. Europe is saturated, flooded with immigrants. And of course, if I need to be politically correct, I don't want to say all the immigrants are bad people, but definitely there's a real bad seed among many of these people in that group.
Radical Islam is celebrating.
And again, it doesn't take hundreds of people to do a terrorist attack. It takes only one or two or three to plot something real bad. And I'm always asking myself, and I said this on the news in the past, where are all the agencies that these governments have? Where is the intelligence? Why is not SAS undercover going and hunting down jihadi terrorists and hitting them with hammers and striking them down? You see, these people, you cannot negotiate with them. People don't understand who they're dealing with. Of course, you may have regular Muslims that are mainstream, and that's fine, and that's fantastic. I have also something to say to them, that I don't see them condemning enough radical terrorism worldwide.
Absolutely. They
need
to help us.
Them standing in a front line and saying, hey, you can't talk this crap in our mosque. And
help the security. They need to take part of it.
And the last terrorist attacks did not happen just a guy woke up in the morning and decided to do something. It appears to be there's lots of planning behind, and people didn't know about this. So maybe they have neighbor Muslims or people in their family that know of this, and they don't report it. They don't tell the authorities. That's one layer of problems that we have to deal with. They're a very small and close community. They don't share information.
That's very
bad. So we need a lot more abilities to infiltrate. So if it was up to me, I would be raiding mosques every day.
All right, we got interrupted because the video or the link got longer, but we're gonna keep on listening to him because on the other side we have more of that. As he mentioned, as Itai Gil mentioned, they're a small community and they don't give us the information. They don't pass the information. They actually collaborate them. If you see a crime is being done, you're a collaborator, right? So let's listen to the more of Itai Gil.
All right, I'm sorry. So you would ride a mosque and you would ride centers.
I would suspect that mosques that talk against. Even though, yes, there is freedom of speech, but they preach hate crimes. These words, when you say kill the infidels, kill the pigs, kill the Hindus, kill the Christians, kill the Jews, kill anybody. Doesn't matter what color it is.
Right.
When I'm saying this, by the way, I'm not a racist. I don't care about anyone's color as an Israeli and a Jewish person, and I'm proud to be an Israeli. We know what's right and what's wrong. And these people need to be handled extremely with really strict force. Every country has its own special units or tactical teams, intelligence, cyber. There's got to be a lot more freedom to permit governments to monitor, control,
seek and destroy.
That's it. There is no ifs or buts. I have no idea why, I have to talk to so many people, and so many people say to me, oh, I wish we could do something. There is something that can be done, and it's called preemptive. Everybody is waiting until there's a big terrorist attack, and then they arrest and they detain, and then they go and capture some people and they interrogate them, and they discover, oh, they were on a watch list. So, but they still managed to launch an attack.
Exactly.
Now, of course, I'm not going to compare all the terrorist attacks to other things that happened to, to us. Of course, there's people die from diseases and car accidents, and of course, we're trying to make this world better as much as possible. But what people don't understand, radical Islam is the biggest terrorism threat, and it's a cancer for the freedom of any society in the world.
Let me ask you a question. I know that every time the people get surprised when something like that happens and they don't know what to do, what would be the first things that you would recommend people, civilians that come to a situation where they need to respond? Would you be kind to tell them? Because I know they take the time to think, and which is very bad.
Well, honestly, in my life, all my life I serve to protect. By the way, that's why I called my company Protect.
Yes. What's your company name again?
Protect Israeli Security Solutions.
Online we can find it?
Yes, yes.
Beautiful.
And as most of the people know, those who are working closely with me and close friends, I served in the Elite Counterterror Warfare Unit.
Absolutely.
And our job is to protect lives, save as many people as possible in every mission we're deployed to go.
Yes.
And our job is to have a lot more good guys that go and get bad guys.
All right. Listen, we're going to take intermission and we're going to keep on going and on the other side. Hold it.
All right. That was the interview with Itai Gill. If you want to find it, you can find it on YouTube. It's there and posted. And the same thing that, you know, he told me last month, it's still available and good for this month. So, you know, all the agencies that work to try to control and monitor crime activity, especially terrorism, need to understand that in Europe they cannot go without guns, rifles, or any kind of equipment to protect themselves in order to protect civilian. I know that this kumbaya that the Clinton administration got into the mode of everyone got so deep that they forget that they have to protect themselves from the bad guys. And sure enough, you know, American had to pay a very steep, you know, very deep price about it because Clinton cut all the defense and also created the Obamacare that we're all facing and working hard to settle. And and I know that President Trump is having a hard time to something that everybody complain about. That's so typical of the government. They all do nothing. After you know, the next segment, we're going to listen to Hannity and what he had to say about the Obamacare and the repealing it. But before that, I want to mention before you that today Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited Europe. He's in a few days tour there, and he visited and he talked to some government that usually are hostile to Israel. Actually, European Union is pro-Palestinian. For some reason, they concluded that Palestinian Israel is the same thing. It's like the same bureaucracy of craziness that I found also in the embassy of, you know, the consulate, sorry, of America in Jerusalem, because it served Gaza. You know, Gaza is the home of Hamas. But you have an Israeli-Palestinian consulate. The weirdest thing. I had to go there. Then they told me that it's really serving Gaza too. I changed my mind. So I still have to serve paper, but the only place I can do that is in Jerusalem. But they serve also terrorists, so I don't know what to do. That's bureaucracy. So Prime Minister visit Europe, and he gave them up, you know, today. Let's listen to what he had to say. All right, we couldn't listen to it because it was corrupt, of course. They didn't like the what he has to say, probably. So the deal is like that. We have the organization of all European not elected officials that were signed, spent so much money and do nothing, and actually created a European Union that lost so much money that the English want to get out, and they're going to pay a fine, but at least, you know, they cut their losses and go, which is a smart thing to do. England is on the way of recovery, God willing, and sending all my blessing to the beautiful, beautiful royal family that was in visit. Oh, what a grandchildren. God bless them all. So we have to consider that the Europeans are really hostile to everything Israeli do. And this is in accordance to the idea that the Palestinians need to be independent. Now, their Palestinian never had a country. Why we have to repeat it again? Because nobody listen. If you don't have a country, let's assume, if you want to be a doctor, right? You have to be a doctor. You have to learn. Now, the Palestinian don't know how to manage themselves. So that's why when you give them Gaza, they end up with a terrorist organization running this show and keeping them in poverty. And so bad that even the electricity they need to get from Israel, which got tired because they don't pay the bill. I don't know. It's not good, and it's not good for anybody to conclude that Israeli and Palestinian are the same thing. It's not the same token. The territory is Palestine. Let's start talking the truth. Jordan took that part of the Arabs. Jordan is the Arab section of Palestine. Israel is the Jewish section. And whoever wanted to stay and leave, they need to decide if they're Israeli or want to be Jordanian, like 181 resolution, United Nations resolution that declared, if you want to choose, you have 100 days to do it after the declaration of the independence, which their 100 days are all went and gone now. Now, let's keep on going. Now, we're talking about what the government does not do, and government that creates such a fight with the media have to give it up because they really don't do anything. And Hannity had to say this about the GOP. Let's listen to that.
In an epic failure, the Senate GOP plan to repeal and replace Obamacare has now sadly, tragically, completely fallen apart, which breaks a major promise they have been making to you, the American people, not 1 year, not five, for 7 years. The Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, now says that the plan going forward is to do a clean repeal of the disastrous health care law, and we'll see how that plays out. I'd be happy with that. I'll explain later. And earlier today, President Trump reacted to the news of the latest failure from Congress, the lack of urgency, the lack of accomplishments of them. Take a look.
I'm certainly disappointed. For 7 years, I've been hearing repeal and replace from Congress, and I've been hearing it loud and strong. And then when we finally get a chance to repeal and replace, they don't take advantage of it. So that's disappointing.
All right, we're going to have a lot more on President Trump's reaction later in the show. But first, pay very close attention if you're in the D.C. swamp. I have a very important message for you, congressional Republicans. I and so many of us in the country, we have run out of patience with you. You are the do-nothing GOP lawmakers. And up to now, to be very, very honest, and it's really sad, you're pretty useless. And all you have now is excuses and broken promises. Remember 2010, vote for us, give us the House, we'll get rid of Obamacare. Well, which the American people did. You got the House in 2010. In 2014, you said, give us the House and the Senate. And we delivered. The people delivered. And then in 2016, you said, give us the House and Senate and the White House. And then, once and for all, we'll repeal Obamacare. Okay, let's remind this audience exactly what they were promised so there's no ambiguity here. Take a look.
There's only one way to truly fix Obamacare. Only one way. And that's a full repeal. A full repeal. That's been our goal from the start. That's our goal now. And we plan to achieve it.
It's clear that any serious attempt to improve our health care system must begin with full repeal and replacement of Obamacare, a mission I remain fully committed to fighting on behalf of the people of Arizona.
Repealing Obamacare's poorly crafted and misguided mandates and replacing the law with a fiscally responsible reform bill that contains costs and provides more choices is the best path forward.
You can't repair this monstrosity. You got to tear it down and start all over again.
How do you get to that point, though?
When they lose elections.
And you think that's the key, that the Republicans have to take the Senate, and from that point you can have a different strategy?
Yeah, the ones who survive in 2016 or up in 2016 are going to have a different attitude.
You know, this was the Republicans' big chance, and up till now they've completely blown it. Now, since 2011, remember the Republican-controlled House? They have voted a whopping 68 times to repeal, defund, delay parts of Obamacare. Guess what? I guess it now turns out they were all phony show votes because they never used the power of the purse. Where is the decisive action? You know, was this all a big game, a giant fraud perpetrated on the American people? Well, now you Republicans, you face a moment of truth. This is a tipping point. And as I said last night, if you want to be successful, if you want to hold on to your seats in 2018 in the midterms, there are four key things you better accomplish by the end of this year. Remember I said last night, you need to have completed at least 200-300 miles of the border wall and have a plan in place and fund the rest of it. In other words, fund the rest of building the wall. Second, this is not an option. Obamacare repealing is not an option. You don't do your job, many of you will be fired and deserve to be fired. Third, You need to have an energy revolution. We need to be energy independent. And we'll also create millions of high-paying career jobs to Americans that desperately need them. The fourth and most important aspect of this, after you get the $1 trillion savings from repealing Obamacare, or at least trying to start repealing and replacing, then that $1 trillion, well, then you add the middle class tax cuts, the corporate tax cuts. That's got to be done soon as well, and maybe make it retroactive. Also, the repatriation, multinational corporations, so they can invest trillions in manufacturing centers and factories here in America. We've got to get the 50 million Americans out of poverty, off of food stamps, back in the labor force, and buying homes. Now, how do you accomplish goal number three, which is repealing, replacing Obamacare? Here's what you Republicans in Congress need to do. This is my recommendation to you. You're all pretty lazy. Both chambers need to get together. We'll start with the Senate. 52 members, get in a room. By the way, turn off the air conditioner. Start sweating like the rest of America. You know what? Use fans like our founding fathers and framers did. And you know what? No Senate dining room food and fare for you. How about order some pizza? Get some fast food. Get some KFC, some Wendy's, and Heerburger. I'll even send beer and Coke and Sprite. And you know what? Don't leave the room until you do your job and come out and say, we have come to an agreement and we have a bill that we can put on President Trump's desk. In other words, serve the American people. Put up a big sign. America's promises, your promise to the American people. We are servants of the people. If you can't get this done, the new leaders need to be elected who can do your job. And for example, in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, you can't get the job done, step aside, and let's put somebody in your place. Now, to his credit in the House, Paul Ryan did get a bill passed, not what I wanted, but at least it was a great first start. But you got to face facts here. This is beyond pathetic. It's now July 18th. All these years, all you Republicans promise, 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 again, 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 that you're going to end the nightmare that is Obamacare. Millions have lost their health care plans. They lost their doctors. They're paying on average $6,000 to $8,000 more a year because of Obamacare. It's an epic failure. And you know what? Coming close doesn't count. You people in Congress, you are pampered, you are overpaid, you are spoiled. Just listen to all the perks these senators get to break their promises. All right, here's their salary, $174,000 a year, three times higher than the median household income. I know you have two homes. I get the whole argument. You get free parking at work. You get free parking at airports. You get an average allowance of $3.3 million to maintain your offices and hire assistants. You also get taxpayer-subsidized haircuts. Why do I have to pay for your haircut at the Senate barbershop? You have access to the congressional gyms. Well, guess what? Until you can keep your word, do your job, all these benefits need to go away. And the most important, stop with the vacations. You're in recess for 77 weekdays per year. I get it. Some of you need to spend a little time back in your districts, but not playing golf. Do what you need to do. Stay at work. Stay in work all of August. And when you're in the middle of negotiating a bill, don't take off. Don't go on vacation yet again. Because you know what? It doesn't make sense. And it is exactly why the American people, and me included, I'm fed up with all of you. This is why your approval rating is in the gutter. Latest Gallup poll, you're at 20%. Congratulations, you earned it. And while Republicans continue to drag their feet and fail to rid the American people of the burdens of Obamacare, maybe it's time to think out of the box. You know, on TV and radio, I interview this doctor. I've been interviewing him since 2012. The guy's a genius. His name is Josh Umber. He runs a cost-effective health cooperative, concierge care for anybody that can pay $50 a month, on call 24/7, and 50 bucks a month, 10 bucks a month for kids. Here's Dr. Umber explaining how it works. Maybe you should listen to Real Solutions. Take a listen.
The idea is direct primary care, which is the new model going forward, where we don't take insurance because we don't need insurance for the common things. Our care is $10 a month for kids, $50 a month for most adults for unlimited visits, no copays, free office procedures, and up to 95% savings on medications, labs, imaging, etc. by going wholesale. We're able to take that full value, go back to an employer, decrease their insurance premiums by 30 to 60% in the first year. These are things that could dramatically change the scope of medicine in this country.
Wow. It's such a simple concept. So instead of arguing over how much money the federal government should spend and subsidize health care, well, why don't you work on new paradigms, new ideas, things like Dr. Umber has been doing in Wichita, Kansas, to control costs. And by the way, he's duplicated that model in 600 other offices around the country. And for the record, I'll accept the 2015 repeal of Obamacare, and I'll accept a two-year transition period, which is their plan B.
All right. Now, Hannity was talking about the GOP that don't do their job, and definitely is right. But he forgot one thing to mention. Did he ask them what insurance company covered them? Because you might know or don't, but I learned that all the government officials, you know, the candidate, the one that serve you, have a different insurance company. They don't belong to your coverage. That's why they don't care, because they have no, you know, they don't suffer from it. But instead of running the, you know, America corrupt because of this insurance that is gonna corrupt, bankrupt the system, they have to hurry. And maybe, you know what, maybe it will be all for the better. That's how the Jewish people say. Maybe we're going to give the American people insurance company that won't be so expensive that the hospital will not charge $200 for a pill of Tylenol served in in a room, and all those bills will not go up on the roof, and all this mandate, you know, that you'll have to have approved by committees, etc., if you're sick, maybe it's going to be better. But the idea is you cannot, you know, go bankrupt because of this insurance that Obamacare gives to the world. Just make it better. Now, we are running out of time, and I love you, and I want to welcome the incredible radio group that is in Israel that is performing tonight, and we love them, and I want to salute everybody with Sail to the Moon music to tell you that we love you. I love you. I miss you all in America, all my friends. Be well. God be with you always. Just remember, come to pray with us in Jerusalem. We need all the prayer. We are going to have a wonderful, wonderful holy city. Just let's get together on the same page, on the good side of history, okay? God bless you all. This is Orly Benny Davis checking out. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.